WNYC. Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the Rose Colored Glasses episode. My name is Glenn Washington, and today on the show, reality is not as it seems. And for our next story, it's not that it didn't happen, it's that it didn't happen yet. Snap Judgment.
They didn't believe us when we said the world was burning. We stood on the street corners and handed out flyers. No one took them. You think it's hot now, we yelled at the sidewalk crowds. It's going to get hotter. But no one paid us any notice. To them, we were just a bunch of crazy girls yelling about the end of days. And then it did get hot, just like we said it would. Everything dried, everything scorched. People started dying quickly. We predicted the end, but we couldn't stop it. That's when we went underground. The cave was deep in the earth, where it was cool and moist. We piled the door with rocks. We knew we were building our tomb, but it was worth it, if only for a bit more time. The air started to stale and thin. We drank almost all the water and scaled back. A palmful a day, then less, then less. One night, while I stared into the black of the cave, I listened to everyone's breathing. Some were awake, some were asleep. They were all breathing fast and shallow. Their throats were dry. I slowed my breath, one of mine for every two of theirs. Then three. Then four. As a girl, my father told me about holy men and women who could slow their bodies to the brink of death, their hearts beating slower and slower, their minds quieting, their breath lengthening endlessly. They stayed alive forever sometimes. That night, as I lengthened my breath and listened to my heartbeat slow, was the last time I was truly awake. My heartbeat, my breath, my life came to a halt. I could hear the cave around me, hear the girls cough and moan and sometimes cry out. But when the noises became too sad to hear, I found I could escape into the fog. I could stop hearing, stop feeling, stop thinking. When the girls started to fade for good, I pulled the fog over me for the last time. I dreamed. I dreamt about my mother, about the closet in my childhood bedroom. I dreamt about a girl I kissed once under an almond tree. I dreamt about a salamander I once found, crushed under a rock next to the stream by my mother's house. It seemed I would dream forever. Tapping is what jars me. Tapping, then clanging, then a large rumble. The sound is so loud, it tears the fog off of me. Did you ever stare right at the sun, right at it, until all you could see was the brightest, most painful white?
Hey. Hey, are you alive? Can you hear me? I think she's breathing.
What? Who?
Hey. Hey, are you okay? Can you hear me? Are you okay?
What happened?
Oh my God, you're alive. You must have been here a long time. I can see right through your skin. Do you have a name? Can you remember anything?
The world was very hot.
I thought no one survived the burning.
We were right. The world burned.
Yes. It's a lot to explain, but the world burned and then cooled. When the water came back, the plants started to grow, and the people who survived came back up from the pole.
How do you know?
I study it. Some of us still do. Can you stand?
No. She moves my body for the first time in a century. My arms and legs are limp. I can't lift my head. And so the woman calls more people over and tells them to lift me and to carry me outside. And then my life starts all over again.
I think I waited my whole life to open the cave. My whole life to find her. And now that she's here, she's everything to me. I'm hers. She's mine. She gives me the answers I've been waiting so long to hear about what the world was like and who its people were. When we talk, we time travel. She talks about highways and cars and the sound of traffic at night, a constant distant rush. About cities all concrete and metal with buildings so tall they blot out the sky, and how she hated them. She told me about the beach of her childhood, cluttered with boats and swimmers, hotels and arcades just beyond the sand. She loved the beach's pebbled shores best. So I find river-smooth stones and slip them into her pockets. When she finds them, she tells me she's never felt stone so soft. This world is so new, she tells me, and the people are so different.
Everybody's young now. They just stay that way. My eyes crease in the corners, but yours don't. Why?
I tell her how young I was when they gave me the herb. Just old enough for teeth, just old enough to chew. It tasted like sugar and grass, and it left my mouth blue for days after I ate it. And after 2 decades of growing and aging, I stopped. Years pass, and we all stay the same. My cheeks never line, my bones don't brittle. They may, but we don't know when.
Will you die?
I don't think so.
Will I die?
We can't give you the herb. It only works if you take it as a child.
I don't want to die.
Don't say that. I don't want to think about that.
They say dying is lonely.
We don't say that anymore. We wander as much of the world as we can. The oceans have grown, the coasts have changed. Sometimes we find the dead rubble of cities pounded into ash and sand. We rarely encounter other people, but we're not lonely. After time, we can speak without words. I can see her sadness, her happiness, her impatience, her wonder in her hands, her arms, the slump of her back. And then one day, she finds a gray hair under her cap and shows it to me. I shrug it off, but my throat closes. I pluck her hair and throw it into the wind. But more appear. And she starts to slow and stiffen. As each year passes, her braids get more and more silver. And then one morning, I find her letting down her bun, and her hair spreads white across her shoulders. She runs her fingers through it, shakes her head. She tells me,
"It's time to go home.
We have more to see, we have more time."
"No, you have more time."
I don't want this to end.
I don't want that either. But I've seen enough. This is your world, not mine. Let's go home. I want to see my cave again.
When we return to our homeland, we're met by a small crowd. They scoop her up onto their shoulders and bring her to the cave. We clear the rocks away, and in the middle of the dark, low room, we build a bed. Right in the spot where I first found her, asleep. She finds my eyes and smiles. And then she climbs in, and we watch as she falls asleep. We listen as she breathes one breath, then another, and then no more. I put my ear to her chest. I can almost hear the thud of her flesh and blood and bone. I feel her palm, and there's no warmth there. But there's no cold either. I tell him I want to stay. I want to be there when she wakes. But they shake their heads. She's gone, they tell me. She's not coming back.
That story, Snappers, comes to us from the brand new Sarah Awards audio fiction podcast, Serendipity. Katie Mingle was the voice of our sleeping girl. Original sound design by Leon Morimoto. It was written and produced by Eliza Smith and Mark Ristich. Our good friends Ann Hepperman and Martin Johnson make Serendipity out of Sarah Lawrence College. Subscribe to the Serendipity podcast today on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast.